Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Word and Table. This week, we're going to be continuing a conversation that we started last week about the offices of the church and the organization of the church and where that all came from. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode called Priests, Deacons, and Bishops, then go back and listen to it first, and you'll be set up to hear this week's episode, which closes out the conversation about church organization. And now, here's Father Stephen. So those are the offices of the church. Tell me about the polity, parishes, dioceses, provinces. Where did those come from?
Well, what happened, of course, originally is everyone would mutual recognition. You know, the church is founded. We see that already in Acts of the Apostles. People would recognize churches founded by Paul. And he recognized, for example, Rome was a church he hadn't founded. It was founded by Peter. Or actually probably even before Peter. But they had this mutual recognition of one another. But what would happen is often bishops around major cities, like think of now, like you have a state or something, you have like, you know, a large city and then you have smaller cities, began to look in a special way towards these, they later became known as patriarchs, historically, some of the really great cities like Rome and Constantinople, Alexandria, Antioch, and Jerusalem. And so what they would have would be, the bishops, everyone who reported to the bishop, all those churches around him was known as a diocese.
Okay.
And dioceses together that sort of were connected with one of these great churches, they looked to them primarily as their leadership center, came to be known as provinces.
Okay.
So it's, you know, so we have to this day what we have is we have a bishop is in a diocese, and related dioceses that work together form a province. And in Anglican polity, provinces now tend to be just national churches. So everyone, for example, us in North America, we have one province in the Anglican Church in North America for all Anglican churches in North America.
Uh-huh. But there would be a province in Kenya,
Uganda, uh-huh. Rwanda, etc. Yeah.
Okay. So they've just sort of later kind of in the Anglican Church kind of become national churches, but they started more as large regions of dioceses.
Right. In the ancient church, naturally people sort of gravitated around, and often was for national reasons. For example, and Antioch was right in the heartland of people who spoke Aramaic and things. The city itself was Greek. But so the churches who had that background, a Semitic background, tend to identify especially with that city.
Okay.
You know, so those churches kind of gather around and associate with, and that's what became these larger provinces.
So they associated, so dioceses began, spread out from cities, you're saying, started in cities and then began to spread out from there.
Well, the church spread out as you'd have a bishop in one city. As the church grew, that each cities would have their own bishops,
mm-hmm.
but the bishops would organize, and the organizing, how they organized into the units of what gave us later on provinces.
Okay.
Every bishop is what today we call a diocese. And those dioceses tended to organize. They get together for synods, which were meetings on issues that would come up. They get the people around in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Like we think everybody, we talk about a state finals or something with basketball or something. They sort of looked like that, where they would naturally organize, like we would say by state, they'd organize by certain regions that had a lot in common. And uh-huh. that became the provinces in the ancient world. And those bishops, the really great ones were called patriarchs, but other ones are simply called archbishops, you know, with more than one bishop under them.
Okay, so
at least in the Western Church, we call them archbishop. They have a different term they use in the Eastern Church.
In the Eastern Church, it would be patriarch or metropolitan.
Metropolitan, right?
Okay, and these archbishops are simply, you know, bishops of bishops. Would they have their own parish that they would minister to?
They have their own diocese, right?
Their own diocese,
but they have a special role. They play a leadership, organizational, gathering role.
Okay. Got it.
And again, the basic thing they did is they would have synods. When an issue would come up, what do we do with discipline, working together? How do we coordinate? They would come together in those natural units. Again, like we would think of getting together by state.
Right. Yeah. I was about to say, it sounds like a government. It sounds like a national.
They pretty much followed the Roman units.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much followed Roman units of government.
Oh, okay. So they kind of mapped on
to. They kind of mapped onto, yeah.
Roman units of government. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
With those units in turn mapping into larger regions, which gave us what we call patriarchs, meaning sort of like the super regions became patriarchs.
Okay. So this is, almost feels kind of like a Russian doll of like, kind of rippling out.
But the only thing that's essential is the bishop in a city and the fact that bishops work together. That's the heart of the church. Everything after that is just a, you know, it can be arranged differently. But the central thing is bishops, you know, in across time and across space, you know, surrounded by their priests and deacons, you know, and the area that they administer is the diocese. That's the basic structure of the church.
So the basic structure of the church is a community of ministers ministering together. That's what priests and bishops represent.
Right, they're the continuation of that body. They're the continuation of what began next to the Sea of Galilee when Jesus called people to follow him.
Sure.
And he said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. That's why they're also pastors.
Yeah.
You know, primarily they're the ones who take care of the sheep. They're pastors.
So really all of these sort of structures and things simply come back to the church functioning like the disciples, like the apostles.
Well, not just like them. It is the same thing. It's a continuation of what happened then. Is Jesus sent his apostles to pastor his people, and that's what we have now in our bishops and priests who assist them, the deacons who assist them.
Yeah, yeah. It's always been fascinating to me that Jesus Christ did call out 12 men to do this. He didn't go alone to the to the people of Israel. He went with he went with 12 of his disciples, and he called them friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, something is interesting if you look at the accounts of the multiplication of loaves, for example, to emphasize this point in the church.
The multiplication of what?
Of loaves.
Loaves.
Where Jesus
yes.
takes the loaves and multiplies them. Mm-hmm. Is the gospel accounts emphasize that Jesus doesn't hand out the bread to the crowds. He gave it to his disciples who handed them out. The church always saw that very important that Jesus ministers through his church.
Yeah.
How that connection is through the church.
And then afterwards, they are the ones that gather up all the baskets
right.
Of the rest. Mm-hmm. And I guess those leftovers are for the nations, right? For the Gentiles in a spiritual sense, right?
Well, the Gentiles also have their own, they're more than one type of multiplication of loaves.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
Well, sometimes, there's not just one multiplication of loaves in the Gospels.
Right.
It takes place in Jewish territory, and that's why you have the 12 baskets of fragments.
Oh, okay.
And in Gentile territories, it's the 7 baskets, because 7 is traditionally, 7 or 70 is the number associated with the nations.
Oh, I see. Wow. I never knew that.
Yeah. And if you look in the accounts, it's interesting, because it'll tell you where they take place, and the ones that are taking place in non-Jewish territory.
Uh-huh.
And also what the Lord does. In Jewish territory, how do you give thanks? Blessed are you, O Lord God. They're called a blessing. A blessing is how you give thanks for something. So we'll talk about he took it and he blessed it and broke it and gave it. In the ones with the Gentiles, it says he took it and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them. So the word he uses depends on which unit, whether we're talking about Gentiles or Jews.
Okay, wow, interesting. So really from the very beginning, the Lord's establishing his church among the people.
Certainly from the beginning. When we look at Matthew's gospel, it's taken as a given, the church. He talks again and again, like we talked earlier about, you know, church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense, Stephen. Thank you so much. That's as much time as we have for today's episode. We will be back next week with more on the great tradition of Christian worship. Thanks for listening to Word and Table.
Okay. Thank you, Alex.